This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Well, I want to continue in this hour with a little change. My greatest fear is that people don't ask tough questions. We have one lady that calls in periodically from New York. Her name is Mara. And we just got another video from Mara, which I'm going to look at and view. But and you've been on many different Intel boards, War Gaming Things Out. You've been on a board for Movies in Hollywood. You co-authored with Craig Smith on financial issues. And I don't think, to be honest with you, and this includes right up to the level of President Trump, I don't think that the corporate advisors in the world or the globalists have seen, as they say in the Bible, the end from the beginning. They haven't seen the consequences long term of things they don't anticipate. For example, we call these gray swan events that might happen and black swan events that do happen. The big black swan event of 2018 is crypto, and China outlawed crypto 2 months ago. But we're not dealing with the fact that within 5 years, and this is not going to be an easy, hard thing to do, that people's PDA, personal digital assistant, access to all of your information and your contacts, etc., is going to be in 5 years smarter than most people. Not just half the population, but only a tiny percentage of the population will, in a sense, have a higher IQ, in a sense, ability to problem solve and sort out data equivalent to their own PDA on their iPad or iPhone. And I don't think people realize that the building of the matrix step by step, which is DARPA projects, people like Zuckerberg and Google who've been now before committees in Congress, they don't understand that the Intel agencies, which not includes Five Eyes but the others, and also technologies for human life extension. For example, I have a lot of those pieces right now. For example, we just had approval this week, probably today actually will be the encapsulation day for my first product in the world that actually will rebuild any organ in your body. It's called Red Deer Velvet DR, so it's delayed release capsules allowed in to create a micellized form. We also have peptides that can actually regenerate and activate your DNA for each target organ, whether it's your brain, your pineal gland, your thyroid, your parathyroid, your sexual organs, your liver, your kidneys. We have these now. We have stem cells of various types available. In fact, stem cell labs where they can take your bone marrow and multiply it, outside clinics in Germany, Central America. The closest one I have here is called Stematica in San Diego. It's a research facility, but they do sell their product to a stem cell facility in Tijuana, which I consider the most powerful form of stem cells because it's grown in a hypoxic environment and a much higher concentration of stem cell line stem cells than anywhere else on Earth. They also have a clinic in Astana. So the real currency in the future, and that's a good example, is crypto, is data. Data is going to be king here very shortly, and it's not just financial data, it's every kind of data. The data actually have created an artificial superintelligence can solve literally the human genome, for example. There's a company here in San Diego County is going to be able to unwind your entire human genome in less than $100. When we can do that, and we can do gene editing, not only to wipe out disease, but for life extension, the fact that someone, as it says in the Bible, dies at 100 will be considered the years of a child. I don't think aging is going to exist 20 years from now. It could be 5 years from now because we're getting really close. And I think that, you know, human augmentation of memory, whether you have a neurological disease like Alzheimer's or Parkinson's disease, or augmentation just with a bidirectional halo helmet, which you can buy right now to actually control your MD-Athlon chip microcomputer, I don't think people have anticipated the changes in society or the creativity and intellectual and data revolution that's coming. They're not ready for it. They're not anticipating it at all in changing geopolitical structures, the lifespan of the human race, or even the structure of society, because a lot of the globalists want to get rid of most of us and replace the lower class with a form of what I call cybots. Human beings were genetically altered to be an underclass of slave warriors, in a sense, for the superclass that are genetically and cybernetically enhanced to live millennia. That's where I think things are going, like the movie Gattaca. And I don't think people see that coming, do they? And they don't realize it's not a left-right thing. It's a techno thing that's moving us toward an eventuality that's very noxious, isn't it?
Well, you can call it even beyond techno in the sense that we're literally witnessing the birth of a new species, if you will.
Right.
My wife and I just last night were pondering, obviously the military is working rapidly on human brain computer interfaces, so that basically you will have the mental computing power of a giant computer, because you'll be tied to a giant computer within your head. But what then happens when somebody comes up with electromagnetic pulse, or when we're hit by a giant solar flare and all the computer chips, all the computer circuits are fried by that experience, and your brain happens to be 25% computer chips? That will be a very interesting test or a new evolutionary pressure for humans. One of our challenges is not going to be that we'll make a class of human serfs, because frankly, humans will not necessarily be smart enough or competent enough to do most tasks better than computerized robots will.
Right.
They will simply become unnecessary. But in any event, as Noah would have taught you on the Ark, it's good to keep at least two of every kind alive, figuratively speaking.
Right.
You know, you want some people not to have their brains tied to a computer. You want some people not to be too exposed to epigenetic factors. And that's the point. We used to think of DNA as this simple blueprint, and once you have the blueprint, you understand everything about human beings. We now realize that the old notion of genetic evolution and Darwinianism was wrong. Wrong not just because Darwin was a racist, but wrong because, and they never like to talk about that among those who think science is so important. But the problem is you're going to see human beings influenced by all kinds of factors, and animals for that matter, as Lamarck predicted. Even Lamarck created an alternative evolutionary theory in which giraffes had long necks because they, for generations, had tried to eat the leaves on the top of trees. And so they stretched themselves, and that came to be incorporated into the genetics.
Yeah.
Well, with epigenetic discoveries, we're finding that evolution, to some degree, works that way.
Yeah, in other words, you're talking about intelligent recreation. See, what I call intelligent, basically, we know this from reverse transcriptase. That's why things like prion disease, which is a protein retrovirus, can actually create messenger RNA and actually your DNA. Now, basically, I've produced...
That's things like mad cow disease. That's a
prion. Right, yeah, disease. Right. Now, let me explain this. I gave my first lecture in 1982 on what's called phonon maser operons, on how operons are controlled by scalar signals. And I've completed my research this year. I actually haven't published it, but what I know right now, number one, could create the redirection and recreation of genetic information de novo in a person without doing genetic editing, but simply doing epigenetic scalar signaling to actually create new DNA code. There's actually parts of our genome that actually are like a DNA coder, almost like, you know, Silicon Valley. You've got a DNA coder based on environment to readapt you to the new environment. Just like you're saying, you know, you can create new rugae in parts of your auditory cortex if you're a musician, and you can actually see if someone dies dramatically that those rugae are very particular for someone, say, a pianist or a violinist. You can actually see specific anatomical changes. Now, I know these scientists are playing around with trying to develop artificially intelligent circuits, etc., and I know they're all wrong. And the reason why is I've been working on this for 45 years, and I actually am about to do a patent, a thing called the neurotronic circuit, which is the first truly artificially intelligent circuit in human history. Now, I'm not going to give any details of it, but I've actually figured out how to do stochastic nonlinear programming through a special circuit that's basically akin to all biological systems. All biological systems are bidirectional informational stochastic fuzzy logic circuits. And so one cell in your body has more computing capacity than all computers on Earth. Now, what people don't understand is that we're both a natural and a supernatural organism. We have a non-physical part of us that actually exists in what's called the astral or consciousness realm. It's connected through magnetite in our pineal gland that allows the scalar signals from our higher self to communicate with our physical body. Now, iron, by the way, is created in supernova. So all living things, in a sense, in the sense of descended from the first supernova and the first created portions of our universe. Without iron, there's no scalar connection to our higher self. Interesting, eh?
And yet, moving out of the iron.
Back in a moment, we're going to ask and try to answer a lot of questions you'll never hear anywhere else. Welcome back. So, when we look at all of your seven books that you brought out, Lowell and your co-author, Craig Smith, we're looking at economic systems that are now are occurring right now, but they're passing. For example, the big news of 2018 and beyond in the next few years is that the current Federal Reserve System and currencies are going to revolutionize. For example, 5 years ago, the Chinese decided, after all their study, they backed the yuan with gold. They then backed it last year with oil, which, by the way, don't have any oil. They have oil that they've now proxied because 95% to 96% of the oil in Iraq now is processed by the China oil company that didn't exist before Gulf War I. We allowed the creation of it by passing through the Rothschilds the oil from Iraq to the Chinese. And the Chinese islands that they're setting up are primarily to get at the oil heading toward the Philippines and the South China Sea, because there's lots of oil there. And that's also why they created that tsunami.
And by under the law of the sea, you, of course, if you have a little bitty island, you own the seabed for 200 miles around it in all directions.
Right, and these are artificially created islands. Now, right. What the Chinese don't understand is the energy future of the world has already, in a sense, been discovered. Since the 1960s, we have tokamak fusion reactors, and I've stated on this show almost 9 years how to build one. People say, "Well, you don't know, Dingle. You're just a mouthpiece, or you don't think you know all this stuff." Yes, I do. I gave the specific details, and 2 years ago, Lockheed Martin actually came out with a specific model, 28 by 32 feet size, that could create power to 80,000 homes with a tokamak fusion reactor. Now, you got to understand, a lot of the problems, including computing technology, instead of using regular circuits, they have light optic circuits and or not circuits with light optic systems. They have nonlinear programming systems, supercomputers. They're not going to bring out for 20 or 30 years. They already have the designs and the tech. You don't understand that they already have been doing gene editing since, literally, they've been trying since the 1950s and before, even Nazi Germany tried to do cloning. We've exuded in human cloning of animals in South Korea. You can actually order one now, like the Hollywood stars. But if you think human cloning is difficult, you're an idiot. Okay, and I can prove you're an idiot, because if it's not a matter that we could do it, is it should we do it? And are we going to create those clones so they're basically an organ base for us? Or we're going to create copies of super athletes or super Hollywood stars or prostitutes or whatever we want, or super geniuses like Albert Einstein, if we could get some of his DNA. And people say, well, they can't do that. I say, you know what? It says in the Bible that now they're in one place and of one tongue, nothing will be restrained from their imagination. And if that imagination is luciferically satanic, we're going to do stuff that's pretty vile. And people have to know that. If they don't have a grounding in what I call the collective nature of us as a human race, as a being, which has got to come in the very supper of the Lamb, we're going to destroy ourselves. And it'll be much different than what people expect. You know, I don't think that people are asking the right questions. For example, right now our healthcare system is disgusting. It's a pre-embalming system that over-medicates people. 10 to 20% of the time, drugs are appropriate sometimes. One-third of the time, surgery is appropriate. They don't really want to solve the problems of health. They don't have a system where health is affordable, so 86% of the time people go bankrupt. Then we look at our borders. We have basically a sanctuary country that if you plant your butt or even go to Tijuana, you can declare yourself that you've got a reason why you want to plant your butt here for 83% of the time. It's just economics. And we can't afford it. I mean, we're in debt so much now we can't even afford our military. And the government, the only way they can pay off the debt is to blow up the economy and steal everything you have by devaluing the currency. So, you know, where do you see this going, Lowell? Because what I see happening is I don't see war gaming out by anybody, and that includes the president. I see him surrounded by knuckleheads that say it's a good idea to attack Syria, and he thinks he can just hardball North Korea and get his answers, when really he has to squeeze the oligarchs in Russia and the guys in China that are supplying Kim Jong-un with all his stuff. I see mismanagement and stupidity and people not asking good questions in every realm. And I have basically not had any really tough questions for 6.5 years. So I want you to try to pose an issue, pose a situation, and we'll tear it apart. Go ahead.
Sure. Well, to begin with, we have the problem only a century or so ago, we were still lighting our homes with whale oil lamps. And to get those, we were killing whales. We today understand that the whale is one of the most intelligent creatures on the planet, and that it has enormous potential. And we look back and say, oh, that's horrifying. Well, we're using humans to do all kinds of bizarre acts of labor that can easily be done by other things, robots, what have you. We don't need humans to do the labor anymore.
Right.
Many of them are laboring simply to make a living, but they don't need necessarily to make a living. I'm not saying this as a socialist. I'm saying that we will indeed move toward either eliminating billions of people because they're extraneous on the planet, God forbid, or paying them a basic minimum wage automatically, a kind of glorified welfare system on the grounds that it is cheaper to give everybody a guaranteed income than it is to pay half the population welfare. Because with the welfare state comes a vast bureaucracy. You know, when Lyndon Johnson was waging his war on poverty, people analyzed it and found that 81% or 81 cents out of every dollar spent to help the poor never got to the poor.
Right.
It went to the social workers, to the $100,000 a year political appointees, to bureaucrats, to all kinds of others. Where if it had just been given to the poor directly, they would have been middle class, and we'd have gotten rid of all those people on the other form of welfare, namely what Bernie Sanders now proposes, making millions and millions more into quote-unquote government employees.
Yeah, that's an obscene idea, isn't it? Very obscene idea.
Even under Nixon's welfare reform, a lot of what was done was people were taken off welfare. They were no longer given a welfare check. But then the government invented millions of make-work jobs. And they were given make-work jobs where they just sat all day stamping something on pieces of paper that came in.
Really?
It's more difficult for us, and they would not only get monthly pay or weekly pay, they would also be given power to make chaos for our lives, and they'd be given a nice fat government pension when they retired.
Oh, my.
That's actually more expensive than just leaving them on welfare.
Yeah, in other words, a better system, what I believe is a real simple system. Number one, I believe that we need to start getting rid of the so-called complex income tax and move to a VAT. We need to have what's called a reverse tax. So below a certain income, they will pay, you get paid, you can still have another job on top of it, but you can pay enough money that with your basic work. And I believe in what's called workfare. In other words, everybody can work. Even if you're quadriplegic, you can work an hour a day even with a computer brain interface. So the idea of workfare means you're going to get additional money on top if you get a job, and we retrain you so you can operate remotely, let's say equipment or a robot to do some task in a factory, even if you're in your apartment in, say, a different part of the country. And we need to reinvent what an economy is. The idea is that no one should go without basic housing and basic good, clean food. It doesn't mean you can make everybody rich or have a welfare system. I don't believe in the idea of welfare. I believe in what's called a reverse tax. And the VAT system should pay for three aspects of health care. Functional medicine to testing, genetic testing, etc. Catastrophic care, which doesn't allow the government to be in control, means you're in control. And basically a system where the primary doctors are contracted, so you basically get rid of insurance, because insurance and attorneys are the bane of medical advancement. And you get rid of state licensure and have national licensure by non-government agencies. That'll help fix a lot of things. Question. And you're pretty familiar now with how I practice what I call functional telemedicine. Functional medicine is not an alternative medical practice. I don't care if you're a plastic surgeon, abdominal surgeon, pediatrician, geriatrician. You need to learn what I know. Okay? And I don't care if you're a chiropractor manipulating joints. In fact, I did research with with he surfaced electromyography and research toxicology for years. And basically, virtually every model that I was taught in medical school residency is horse manure. Okay? And the fact is, I can show scientific validation for that. As I said in my little dialogue before the break here with my doctor colleague who thought VLDL cholesterol is bad. No, no. What's bad is oxidized 9-neuronal hydroxycholesterol and T-bars, which is oxidized fatty acids, from the kind of toxins in our food that actually rob us and create homocysteine that burn our artery walls. That's bad. And you can actually show that taking our current approach to healthcare is wrong. Well, we now have solutions, the same kind of intellectual approach we can take to any problem. As I say, I do have an approach that's what I call libertarian to the economy and a libertarian approach to healthcare. But is society ready to have, like in Georgia and 18 other populations, where there's 100 times more centenarians that actually still have their clues? There's two seats in Georgia, which is the Republic Socialist of the Soviet Union, because they drink Lacto milk. They have 100 times more people that live a century than we do in North America. What are we doing wrong? We're demineralizing our soil, and we're getting toxins into our diet. If you look at even the cancer rates of people that drink kefir yogurt or Lebna, which comes from Lebanon, they have a quarter of the rate of dementia and cancer and heart disease. You have to understand, what are we doing wrong? And we don't care, because we allow the grocery industry, even the alternative food industry, to do this. So I'm going to ask you some questions, because I want you to raise an issue or question you thought you've never could receive an adequate answer. Put a couple of questions that you think I can tear apart. Anything. I don't care what it is. It can be spiritual, geopolitical, financial, health issues. What I see happening is people are not willing to ask better questions. And they don't even know how to start. You're a brilliant guy. So ask me a question that no rational human being would ask another person. But I'm going to try to answer.
Well, what would most interest me, of course, are spiritually related things. But let me say, apropos of what you've been discussing, one of the challenges of our culture is that we've had a general pattern where the average person sacrifices their health by lack of sleep, by pressure, by stress, by all kinds of things, by bad eating, from birth to age 40 in order to make money. And then from age 40 until they die, they spend all that money trying to regain the health that they lost.
Right.
And that it seems to me, is not the most rational way for human beings to live. I would like to see stress reduction in the society, even though in some ways stress can be useful. Second, you mentioned going over to a tax system based on a VAT. One of the things I talk about in my article today, Welcome to the Class War, which appears at AmericanThinker.com,
right,
is Europe uses a different taxing structure than the United States does. We rely heavily on the income tax, and we do it because, from politicians' point of view, it's a great way to get most of your tax from a minority of the people who won't vote you out of office. You pick on the rich, you get their money, and you're doing just fine. But the difficulty is, you wind up destroying or taking capital, working capital, away from the most productive people just to give it to government, which really makes nothing except war, of course, and bigger.
Exactly.
Now, the problem is we get 37% of our government revenues from income tax, which is the most politically hateful, destructive way to get revenue. In Europe, they only on average get 24% of their revenue from income tax. They get much more of it from consumption taxes. They distribute the tax burden much more broadly. In fact, it fascinated me to learn that in Sweden, in particular, they even tax welfare checks.
Wow.
If people are poor in our country, we say, oh, well, you're exempt from all taxation. You really aren't, because the price of everything you buy is there because the government plays a con game. They put a heavy tax on business. Business then just treats the tax as a business expense and adds it to the price of what they sell. So you pay much more for things than you would need to in a real free market. But the government then gets to say, oh, look at how much those greedy capitalists are charging you, not telling you that half the cost of what you're buying is taxes that were imposed on the business people. In other words, the businesses are used as the government's tax collector.
Yeah, they're using them as a proxy. See, I want to be moving toward a VAT, and I also want to get rid of several things. First, we need to get rid of the idea of lawsuits for medical issues. We need to get rid of state licensure. We need to get rid of a lot of these regulatory agencies, including environmental, that aren't really fixing the environment.
By the way, just parenthetically, even though California is better than some states on that, Los Angeles alone has four times more lawyers than the entire nation of Japan.
I know, it's ridiculous.
And
it's
all
disgusting.
Those lawyers make their living by preying on other people. Like doctors.
Well, 86% of lawsuits against doctors are frivolous. And they won't attack doctors in large groups with battalions of attorneys behind them because they know they're going to lose. And they're not going to be able to cover their expenses because they're going to have such a high loss rate. They wouldn't take frivolous lawsuits against, say, a large group of cardiologists or internists or specialists that have tons of battalions of attorneys. They're going to go after small groups, 2, 5, 10 doctors they can kind of put the screws to. So,
and of course, this is all done in conjunction with the government. You know, the government hires more bureaucrats. The bureaucrats make more regulations. The regulations offer opportunities to sue whoever's regulated. And then the government, in fact, the government under Obama even had a very interesting racket. They would encourage an environmental group to sue over some issue. And when it did, they would then immediately sign a consent decree agreeing to everything the environmental group wanted. In effect, they were making environmental law by lawsuit, just as it's now being made by judges.
Right.
One of the perversions we saw in the court ruling in the last 24 hours against Trump and DACA is it's a continuation of this thing where politicians starting in the 50s realized we don't want to take provocative, widely debated votes on things. We don't want to end racial discrimination, for example, or segregation, because a lot of our voters like segregation. So we'll let the judges do it. We'll let the judges make abortion legal. We'll let the judges hand down rules that pass all these laws we want to pass, but we're afraid to.
Wow.
And so we now have taught judges that they are entitled, as an unelected minority, to have the same power as the elected government, or even more.
In other Well, we see that with the about-to-be-replaced Supreme Court justice, a female justice that's in her 90s now. She's one of the first activist judges that think somehow they're as legal demigods. We see this with Justice Stevens, who's retired in his 90s, 97, thinking he wants to get rid of the Second Amendment. I don't think should have a right to a public opinion about that, trying to think he can sway things, because he used to be a Supreme Court justice. This is an obscene idea, isn't it? Now,
Bader Ginsburg, actually, as a sitting justice, not a former one, goes to groups and gives speeches in favor of this or that.
Exactly. I think that's an obscenity. I think that's what it is. I want you to ask a tough question of things that you haven't got a kind of a thought-out process. What problems do you think are either now happening or on the horizon, whether it's negotiating the end of nuclear proliferation, the idea of what's happening with the world economy and cryptocurrencies, what's happening with the human life extension and anti-aging? For example, if I had more finances, I'd have a lot more of my technologies patented, and I'd have a lot more affiliation with doctors in actual practice. I'd help here not only in the States but in other countries. But because we're so taxed to death and regulated, we can't do it. We can't even develop it in the United States because the regulatory environment is so noxious. I mean, my colleague, Dr. Centeno, that was doing stem cell multiplication at his facility in Broomfield, but he did research on pain on the IRB national panel. He had to move his clinic to Grand Cayman Island because the government called it a drug if it was replicating your stem cells more than 24 hours. How crazy.
They would call water a drug if water was sold as a game.
Coming up next hour, we have Jonathan Gray on from New Zealand. And, of course, Lowell's back every Wednesday, and we'll hopefully be able to do some more video and other materials. We are not only podcasting over to many different sites from our Deagle-Hyphen Network, but also now recently, for the last year and a half, Revolution Radio, and soon we'll be podcasting over on Red State Talk Radio. Plus, I'm working on trying to get a Sunday afternoon show, so we'll bring on live guests like Lowell to raise issues and for you to call or text message in your questions on anything. So, Lowell, go ahead with your question.
Yeah, sure. First, let me say that Craig Smith and I have our seventh book out, Money, Morality, and the Machine. And if people would like an absolutely free postpaid copy of this $20, 250-page book, it's yours. I mean, we'll pay the postage, we'll pay for everything, it will not cost you a penny. And it has the kind of discussion we've been having today, of course, without Dr. Bill's breathtaking genius. To get it, just call the toll-free number, 800-630-1492, like the year Columbus sailed the ocean blue. That's a toll-free number, 800-630-1492. We have an entire chapter in this book about how modern and, 20th century science fiction and 21st century science fiction has been anticipating all kinds of amazing changes that may, in fact, be far more real than people believe. So in the tradition of Elon Musk, the inventor of the Tesla and that space program of his and so on,
right,
going to Mars, he believes we're already living in something like the Matrix. We're already living in a video game based on quantum physics and so on. The question is, what is reality? Obviously, it's more than we just see here. Every once in a while, when we're having an especially good or bright day, your mind clears and you suddenly see more for a few minutes than you'd been able to see before. You see connections between things that hadn't existed before. So are we living, maybe spiritually based, maybe biblically based, are we living in a much bigger game than we now believe?
Yes, we are. Every second Wednesday, I have my son, Matthew Justin Deagle, on. He's an expert on what's a new form of, and they call it predictive astrology. Now, not the typical astrology you'll get like in your newspaper and so on, or the ancients that perverted it. But we talked about this with Jonathan Gray, the sting of the scorpion. Actually, God actually imprinted on the star systems and the occultations of planets the actual symbology of the destiny of mankind. Now, you have to understand we're living in a holographic matrix, and I'll explain there's three realms to the universe. The lower realm we live in is a hologram, and it's created by the higher realm, I call the negentropic realm of the collective consciousness of the universe. That means every spirit being, everything that exists, has an effect on pulling or pushing or creating at our lower realm the actual order out of chaos. And so the collective, if you want to call it the master of that realm right now, the prince of the power of the air, is Lucifer. If you want to call him, he tries to take the title of Tegautu, the great architect of the universe, but in fact, he was a covering cherub of the highest realm, which is the realm of God, who exists in the eternal now. Where God exists is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, which means that everything, including the smallest particle of the elemental particle inside, or atoms inside your body, are literally universes where God is still God. Everything in God is totally omniscient of everything that exists or ever will exist, and to him there's no dimensions of time or space, it's the eternal now. And the second realm, the realm of the consciousness, is these, quote, created beings of lights of separate I intelligence, but they miss, and this is where the problem with evil. Evil doesn't have its genesis in doing just bad things. It has its genesis in doing I things. In other words, I. It's the identity versus the eternality of us collectively as a collective intelligence. And what God is intending to do is to marry the marriage supper of the Lamb, which is coming after this time of tyranny. The real epiphany is the creation of a human race that will be deified as the bride of God. So although we will be living in the everlasting or world with time, and again, time always allows evil because evil can only exist in time. If you don't have plans and you don't have power, you have to have time in order to do evil. So the prince of the power of the air, the master hacker of the universe in a sense, that hologram, is Lucifer. So every religion on earth, every government on earth, every financial system on earth, every scientific method is Luciferic. That's why when Jesus is taken high above the temple, he was told by Lucifer, if you will only fall down and worship me, I will give you these kingdoms. Because Lucifer is the greatest created intelligence in the universe, but you can't compare the greatest created intelligence to the infinite intelligence of the Creator God. So we do live in a hologram. Now, so Elon Musk is correct. The fact is, though, that everything is what we call scalar waves of intention. So Dr. Masumoto, the Japanese study of water, showed that negative and positive prayer can actually change even the water structure of the hydrogen bonding. Those scalar waves can actually cause intention waves. For example, I remember one of my patients back in the early 1980s kept telling me every week she was going to get cancer, going to get cancer. Her intention field actually created cancer. One day she came in, she said, I haven't seen you in 4 weeks. What's going on? And she looked awful, gaunt. She'd lost almost 30 pounds. So I and her surgeon, we actually opened her up. I'm in the operating room with him. And from stem to stern, from her xiphoid to her symphysis pubis, and she was chock-a-block full of tumor. We went everywhere, the paracolic gutters, the Douglas pouch, everywhere. She had metastases, and she was even beyond chemo and radiation. We said, that's it. We just sewed her up and told her to get, you know, at that time, we didn't have all the fancy alternatives we have now for cancer. We just basically say, get right with God and get right with your relatives, because you're going to die. And she did about 6 weeks later. So you have to understand whether it's a national intention field of the way we're dealing with the left and right in our country. And remember, the left and right in our country are just two sides of the same snake. Right now, for example, the actions of Trump, many of them are very good, but many of the things he's doing are very wrong, and they're the right side of the same beast, the same snake, as the left side, Hillary Clinton, and the snake has to push against itself to move forward. That's why you see the Vatican one month ago talked about the United States, no hell, and this month he's doing wonderful things, allowing this little boy Alfie to come to Italy and even giving him citizenship. So you have to understand, every religion publicly on earth, and that includes the Christian religions, every Muslim religion, every pseudo religion, every tech religion, like believing in a cyber god, is entirely Luciferic. And people don't know this. People don't know it, so they're deceived by crazy philosophies of, say, modern American Christianity that doesn't fit with, say, Ethiopian Christians. So the reason is, as you think, therefore it is. And it's not just you, it's the collective intelligences of the people. That's why people aren't changed by arguments or by emotion, the left and right side of the brain. They're changed by spirit words that change their perspective of what the nature of the universe and what they are, not only as an individual, but as a collective being, spreading into the past, present, and future. So,
along those lines, then, R. Buckminster Fuller had a wonderful phrase apropos this. He said, "No more secondhand God." Which is to say, don't buy your God from a franchise like McDonald's.
Right.
Don't buy your God or idea of God from somebody else. You need to experience it directly yourself. And my question is selfishness okay if you are self-realized? In other words, if you are attaching your consciousness and identity to God rather than to a narrow ego. Is it possible to do that, or is that beyond our reach at this stage?
No, it's required. In fact, that's the epiphany. The epiphany is to realize you can be both an I and a we at the same time. I'm a medical empath, and I discovered this through many years, since 1982, having this gift, that all of us are empaths to some extent or other. Most of them won't get it until they have a near-death experience and get transformed, so their astral or spirit eyes opened up. But many people after near-death experience have a change in the worldview that makes them start to experience spiritual gifts because the parts of their higher self are actually more active. So you're right. There's no such thing as a secondary God. God is within me. So, in other words, heaven doesn't start when you die. Heaven starts today when you start to achieve the expression of your higher self and you connect it with all other sentient beings in the world and even other things. Just like the natives would say that the trees and the mountains and everything have a spiritual presence. Yes, they do.
Hell is when you are consciously separated from God.
That's all it is. Hell is seriously separation. Heaven starts today. Hell becomes evident when the body drops away. How's that?
So then the question is, did God create us to become companions to himself?
Yes.
Or were we created to begin?
He created us to express the nature of how glorious and wonderful he is, omniscient, omnipotent, but the most powerful thing God is, he was able to forgive us into existence, even though we would offend him. He forgave us into created existence, even Lucifer, and that's why he still exists until the end of creation, transitions to become deified, to become the bride of the Most High.
Amen.
Amazing, isn't it?